Holiday weekends invite us to relax, but there is a battle going on that demands our full attention and full commitment. Your teenagers are in the crosshairs as powerful forces seek their destruction through early addiction to drugs and pornography. In this battle, the culture is not your friend. Today, more hard facts that demonstrate the real danger facing your kids. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is speaking on the battle for America's youth. He comes now with another sober look at the threats facing our young people, naming perhaps the number one enemy of children and teens today.
The porn industry, because it destabilizes a child. It makes a child investigate and experiment with sex. And the porn industry desperately wants a whole crop of addicts. Time and time again, they are looking for addicts, and they begin at the age of 6. Hefner couldn't survive if he didn't have addicts. And that's why he constantly is looking for young boys, constantly on television, trying to gain millions and millions of addicts, because only the addict has the kind of loyalty that the pornographers want. So he's out there trolling for addicts, and he wants your child, and he wants your child desperately. Well, that's the common mission of the enemy. What should our common mission be? This past week, I came across a website that I'm going to give you, because I don't give out websites easily or quickly, but this is a wonderful website. It's entitled battlecry.com. Parents, write it down. Young people, write it down. Battlecry.com. It's a ministry dedicated to helping young people overcome temptations, and hundreds of thousands of young people are signing up. There's great hope in this community and in the community of our country. There are thousands of teenagers who are saying, we're not going to follow culture. Listen to what their mission statement is. I love it. It says, to provoke a young generation to passionately pursue Jesus Christ and take his life-giving message to the ends of the earth. That's what battlecry.com is dedicated to. Most Christian parents don't want godly children. Oh, they'd like to have them, but that's not a goal. What they want is good children. They want children who don't get pregnant, who don't get onto drugs, who don't give them any trouble. And if you don't give them any trouble, the parents say, hey, I'm happy. Folks, we have to go beyond that. What we want is godly children, passionately pursuing Jesus and willing to take his life-giving message to the ends of the earth. Can we as a church pursue a common mission for our young people? Third, you recruit fellow warriors. You recruit fellow warriors. You need people who band together. Now, if you come from a Christian school, supposedly there are other Christian families who have the same values you do. I say supposedly. But it's much easier, I think, in that context to find other families who agree with you. But some of you don't have that option. You need other families within the church to say, we're going to stand with our young people. We're going to have standards. We're going to have peer groups within the church. And that's why we should pray for Andy and Lisa Lindquist. And Andy now is responsible for what is called student ministries, which is really more than just our teenage ministry. But we ought to be able to stand with them and say that what we can do is we can do all that we possibly can to guide our young people and to do it together. And so you enlist others. Something else, by the way, that you can enlist is a filter for your internet. Oh, you say, I trust my kids. Could I make some coffee for you to see if you can still smell? Check to see whether or not you're alive first, and then we can go on to have coffee or tea. Here at the church, we have a filter system, and I found that out for the first time about a month ago. It really, really, really works well. I wanted to find some information on the Weinbrenner Seminary, and it wouldn't let me in because of the word wine. I thought, now there's a filter system. There's a filter system for our families. I have no idea what kind of a filter system it is, but I thought to myself, thank God we've got a good one here. Number four, total dedication. Total dedication. Read a book this past week by Ron Luce entitled Battle Cry. That's how come I got onto that website and found out what was happening. Listen to this paragraph. We are willing to sacrifice for our job, but not for a bleeding group of teens programmed for destruction by the media. And then he says this, think of the sacrifices being made right now by the enemy. While you sit and read this paragraph, there are literally thousands of people working nonstop to pump garbage into the teens in your town. They are writing and producing foul-mouthed songs that your kids soon will be memorizing. They are working all-nighters right now to denigrate teen morality. People are working their way up the ladder at various networks, thinking of new ways to make teen programming more racy, to keep the ratings up and to keep the revenues up. Others are programming web pages as you sit comfortably reading this, pages designed to imprint our kids' brains in ways that could destroy their marriages and families long into the next generation. If they can sacrifice to make a name and a buck for themselves, how can we not give and fight for a much greater cause? Let it never be said that we lost a generation because we were not willing to sacrifice as much as the destroyers of the culture of our youth. Are we willing to sacrifice like that? Now, isn't that interesting? When you know anything about the total dedication of soldiers, as you know, Rebecca and I have a son-in-law who's a soldier. He was in Iraq for 15 months. He's in Afghanistan now as I'm preaching this. And we visited them when he and our daughter Lisa were in Germany. We spent a few days there on a couple of occasions, actually. And Ben would get up at early, 5 o'clock, 4:30, and then he'd come back and shower and we'd have breakfast. Ben, what in the world are you doing? Well, I went running. I had to go running today. Well, how far did you run? Oh, not far today, maybe 5 miles. And I think to myself, Ben, I could have done that in a car much more easily. Could have accomplished the same result in terms of getting there and back. In Iraq, he wore such heavy gear that he was totally sweating, and he said that it was true, 114 degrees in the shade. But he had to wear all this stuff. Why? Because of Al-Qaeda. And we think that we're going to win this war for the battle for the next generation, and we think we are going to win it. We have an enemy that is much more serious, much more cunning, much more devious than Al-Qaeda, and we think we are going to win it by sitting on a couch, watching TV and munching chocolates, and hoping everything turns out well. I will preach it there. Thank you for that encouragement. What we need is parents who are willing to make some sacrifices. Sacrifices in terms of prayer, sacrifices in terms of protecting our young people, sacrifices in terms of getting their involvement in school, in all levels of building those relationships. We need people who are going to cry up to God on behalf of our young people. In preparing this message, I was personally convicted about the fact that I do pray for our young people, but I don't pray often enough and fervently enough when I think of the temptations they face. So we need total dedication. We aren't going to win the war by just watching things go by and hoping that in the end everything is going to turn out really nice. Five, you please the commander. You please the commander. Getting back to Ben, one morning there in Germany, he always slept close to his cell phone because, you know, he could be called at any time. And he got called at something like 3:30, had to get dressed 3:30 in the morning. And then later on, I said, Ben, what happened? He said, nothing happened. He said, the reason that we were to be there didn't work out. So we stood around for an hour and a half and then we were sent back home. I thought, Ben, why didn't you take that cell phone and turn it off? By the way, did you know that you can turn cell phones off? I'm convinced there are some people who don't know that. I've been in a meeting, you know, where somebody's cell phone goes off and they find it and they punch a little button and I think, well, praise God, that's taken care of. 2 minutes later, it's going off again and they punch another little button. I don't know about your cell phone, but mine has one. It's a little red button. If you hold it long enough, you can actually turn the thing off. But, you know, you talk to Ben. He wasn't angry. I'd have been angry, but he wasn't. He said that these things happen in the military, and what you want to do is you need to just please the person who's above you. How do you think the Apostle Paul wanted Timothy to follow through with this? Notice what it says. Young people, your Bibles are open, thank you. In verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, up to 2 Timothy, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. You want to please your commander, and you're not getting entangled with the things of this world, like Paul says you should not. And what is that? It is to not be ashamed of the testimony of the gospel. Young people, do not be ashamed of the fact that you are a virgin. Do not be ashamed of the fact that you attend church and that you have a Bible and you read it. Do not be ashamed to share the life-giving message of Jesus with your friends. Do not be ashamed. Please Jesus rather than your friends. Could you imagine what would happen in America if all Christians began to please Jesus rather than others? I have no doubt that we would have a spiritual awakening. This is Pastor Lutzer. The reason that the Bible speaks about the need to not be ashamed of Jesus and not be ashamed of the gospel is because the message of the gospel is very, very foolish from the standpoint of the world. The message of the gospel condemns our sin. The message of the gospel tells us that we can't save ourselves, that we are sinners, and that we have a great need. And our generation does not want to hear that. And then the other reason is this. If you aren't living for God, if you're working in an office and your speech and your ethics is the very same as the person who is across the way, you lose credibility. So my friend, let us make sure that we are willing to stand for Christ no matter what.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of The Battle for America's Youth, a call to parents to take back what the enemy has seized. Tomorrow, join us for more practical ways to fight back against a corrupt culture. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Today's message can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or you can write to us at Running to Win, Box 11-174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.